Welcome to Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group and Trading Technologies. For more information on the show, visit us online at futuresradioshow.com. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Hello, and welcome to episode 94 of Futures Radio Show. Today, we talk to the head of precious metals at CME Group and a former trader at Bank of America and Morgan Stanley. His name is Miguel Villas. Miguel explains why CME launched the new gold-silver ratio product, along with two other products that can help traders take advantage of the precious metals market. He sheds light into the biggest drivers in gold right now, and he talks about the growth of CME's precious metal products in Asia and around the globe. It was fun speaking with Miguel today, talking about how he got started in the trading industry and his most chaotic trading day. We also discussed the work he is doing now at CME Group. Thank you all for listening. Please enjoy this episode. Miguel, welcome to the show.
Anthony, I cannot thank you enough for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, Miguel. Now, you are a first-time guest, so I'd like to start off by asking you, can you give us your backstory? Tell us how you got started in the industry and eventually became the head of precious metals at CME Group.
Sure. Yeah. So I started my career trading back in 2000 at Morgan Stanley on their precious metals desk. I'd interned there over the summer and was lucky enough to get placed on the desk permanently after I graduated. I was there for 6 years, moved over to Bank of America to start their options trading desk in precious. Did that right up until the financial crisis, which, was somewhat challenging when it came to our industry. Moved over to Mitsui eventually in London, managing the options desk out of the London time zone. And then slowly but surely, I made my way over to the CME Group in 2012.
Really cool. Now, I'm wondering, how did you get started at Morgan Stanley? Did you do that right out of college?
I did. Yep. It was my first job right out of college, 22 years old, very, very green and wet behind the ears.
How did you have the vision to go there and sign up for, look for a job? I'm just wondering, we get a lot of new traders always ask us, I don't know where to go. I'm just kind of wondering, how did you decide to go there?
Yeah, luckily for me, I had applied for an internship the summer before graduation, and I'd got it. So once I got the internship, the next step was pretty clear for me. I enjoyed my time at the firm during the summer, so it made perfect sense once they made me the offer. I always knew, I was studying economics and math. I always knew that I wanted to be in finance, and it doesn't get much better than Stanley. So
yeah, great. Now let's begin. We had some new products launched over at CME Group, so we're going to talk about that. We had the gold silver ratio, the gold platinum spread, and the platinum palladium spread. Now, I'm someone who watches the precious markets a lot. I read a lot about them as well. And I know this gold-silver ratio is something I see really widely talked about in the industry. It's not something I've traded, but I've been following it. And I never really thought of it as like being a product. So my question to you is, why did CME decide to create these products?
Sure. Interestingly enough, the impetus for the launch of these actually came on the back of a gold platinum spread. So platinum had been trading, historically has traded above gold, average of $200-$300. And since the financial crisis, that relationship has been in flux. And at the moment, gold's actually $300 above platinum. This change in the dynamic brought a lot of interest, especially from Asia. So we were hearing that people were really trading this pretty heavily. And, having been on a desk for the majority of my career, I used to trade that spread and I used to trade the gold-silver ratio. And it's pretty cumbersome to trade when you have to leg in and out of the positions. And it's pretty difficult to risk manage because you can't leave a simple stop. You have to leave a kind of a dual stop with folks on the desk, and inevitably you'd get into a fight with the spot trader on the gold desk, and you get into a fight with the spot trader on the platinum desk because neither one of them could agree on whether or not you should have been stopped out or if whether or not your take profit should have been elicited. So we sat down and said, we have the underlying liquidity in all of these products, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, or the global benchmark for all of them. Like, why couldn't we recreate the spread using our underlying benchmark liquidity, and why couldn't we do the same for the ratio? And sure enough, we could, and we did. And the feedback from the market has been really positive. I mean, surprisingly so. You never quite know when you're going to launch a product, how well it will be received, even if you do an incredible amount of client validation. But you know, this seems to be really hitting all the right buttons for investors out there.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, let's dig a little deeper for the traders listening out there that say, hey, maybe I want to trade this product. You know, but before you trade any product, you have to know what the products really are. So I want to start off by asking you if you could define what the gold-silver ratio is and just tell us why traders could see benefits of trading this ratio.
Sure. So at the CME, the ratio is defined for settlement purposes, right, which is, I think, you know, pretty important when you're trading futures, as the active gold contract, the price of the active gold contract is divided by the price of the active silver contract. So, for instance, at the moment, we're trading Dece for both of those. So it's literally the price of the Dece gold contract divided by the price of the Dece silver contract, times a $500 index multiplier. So it's financially settled. All of these are financially settled, which also does make it pretty easy to trade. In terms of why you would trade this, I mean, you know, interest in the gold-silver ratio in particular goes back to the advent of money. People have been closely monitoring how many ounces of silver it takes to buy an ounce of gold, basically since they came up with the idea of gold and silver as currency. So there's a long-standing fascination with that relationship. And sometimes it makes sense to use the ratio simply as a hedge, you know, if you happen to have positions in the underlyings. And sometimes it certainly elicits interest from the speculative side. I used to dip my toe in that pool quite frequently.
So to me, it just sounds like it's helping the people that were trading these spreads to where now they don't have to have basically two outrights on to be in a spread. They're just in one price.
That's right. And I mean, really what this does is it democratizes the access to something that primarily was only traded by professionals. It's really cumbersome to trade this with futures, again, with having just the legs. And on the OTC side, you have to keep OTC positions in both the metals. You have to roll them every day. Again, it's somewhat challenging to risk manage. So this opens access and solves problems all at the same time and uses liquidity that you can trust. I mean, we are by far and away in the precious metals, sort of the industry benchmark for all of these products. So you know that when you're going to settlement, you're going to get the right price. There's absolutely no doubt. So it's pretty powerful stuff from our end.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Now, Miguel, you are a former trader. So I want to pick your brain a little bit here. Now, let's talk about a couple of things. One, I want to know what you see right now is one of the main drivers in the gold market. And talk to us about how this year has been thus far for CME in the precious metals markets.
Yeah. So it's always an interesting time in gold, right? It's incredible the fascination with this market globally, especially this year. So we came in this year and it was pretty bearish. The whole world was calling for $1,000 gold, it felt like, but the expectation was for four Fed rate raises towards, you know, throughout the year, and come to find out we didn't get any, and the Fed got more and more dovish as the year progressed, at least until recently, and that sparked some relief buying, if you will, throughout the year. It seems like we're starting to price in another three or four hikes over the next 2 years. So that seems to have been baked into the price. But what I'm starting to look at more and more, and it's actually one of the drivers that we used to look at back on the desk, is not just the outright relationship to the interest rates, but really how are interest rates relating to inflation. And if we do get bouts of inflation and the Fed is behind the curve, that's what really kind of turbocharges gold prices. So it's that relationship which is most interesting. And not only in the States, in Asia as well. If you find yourself in a situation where inflation is running pretty high in places like China, and they're not raising, gold has a visceral reaction to that, if you will. With respect to how things are going for CME Group this year in precious, it's been a gangbuster year for us. It really has. You know, I mentioned Asia. Our business coming out of Asia is up 50%. out of Greater China, around 80% growth. So we're starting to make some real headways in places where traditionally we hadn't. The overall business is up 30%. When the day Brexit happened, the exchange traded over 40 million contracts, and we were a significant part of that. And I think more than anything, this year has proven to me personally that without a shadow of a doubt, when things happen in global markets, this is where people come to hedge their risk and to take views. So, yeah, it's been a good year.
Yeah, I mean, global markets are what we are experiencing right now. I mean, we see it day in and day out from the trader's perspective. And then that takes me to my next question. One of our sponsors, Trading Technologies, launched a chaos theme campaign. So, Miguel, you were a trader. I want to ask you, what was your most chaotic trading day? And I want you to specifically tell us what were your challenges. Talk to us about how you managed against them and eventually what was the outcome.
Oh, yeah, this takes me back. This takes me back to Bank of America. And it would have been spring 2007. And I'd put on a big risk reversal position kind of given to me by a very large investor. So 1 million ounces aside, which is 10,000 lots aside in gold. And, you know, the day he put me into that position, I was going to blew out all my risk limits and had an army of people at my desk, but I cut it down to a quarter of the position, which was still a pretty sizable position. And basically, I was short the calls and long the puts and trying to manage that. And quite fortuitously, 2 weeks after he gave me that position, gold fell about $50. And when gold's falling that fast and you're long 25 delta puts, it's a good thing. But sometimes you don't quite know where your risk is. And as the market was falling out of bed, I can remember the spot gold trader stand up and literally yell at me, "What is your position?" And me just saying, "I have no idea. Buy me whatever you can." And he ended up buying 2,000 lots for me, which basically covered and ended up making me long. We didn't have real-time risk management on the desk, and you had to run your P&L after you put in trades and figure out sort of where you were. And markets were just moving too fast to do that. So we kind of, blunt instrument intimated the process, and it ended up being okay. I think on the day we ended up making a few pennies. But it was definitely scary when he jumped up and screamed at me because I really had no idea.
I mean, markets, we need that kind of volatility again, Miguel. What's going on? We've been so quiet in equities. We need those kinds of movement. Well, Miguel, thank you very much for sharing. Now, are you ready for our rapid fire segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. Easily. That's an absolute classic. If your readers haven't read that one, pick it up.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
Yeah, that's an easy one, given that it was filmed in the old gold pits at the old World Trade Center, so Trading Places.
Yep. What's the best piece of advice you've received about trading or the markets?
Never get into a trade without defining your downside risk first.
Know where you're getting out before you're getting in.
That's right.
If you can give a piece of advice to the young people interested in getting involved in trading or the markets, what would it be?
On any given trade, never risk an amount that would make you emotional if you lost it.
Great advice, Miguel. Great insight today. I really appreciate you taking time out here and educating us on what's happening in the precious metals markets. So thank you again for coming on.
Now, Anthony, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you. Can't wait for the next time.
Thanks for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you enjoyed the show, please rate us and leave a review on iTunes. For previous episodes or to discuss and comment about the show with myself or my guests, please visit us at futuresradioshow.com. Don't forget to become a premium member today for free by signing up to our email list.